Number 23, the word of the Lord says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. They cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the word of the Lord. I was wondering where I set that handkerchief down. And we are reading this morning a very familiar story about the storm and Jesus who walked upon the sea. It's not anything that's new to anybody that they haven't heard before, but I'm thankful for that the Lord does walk upon the seas of life. And I'm thankful that when the storm is above our head, it's under His feet. Amen. I'm thankful for that. And we see, though, that not only did Jesus walk upon the water, but that Peter walked on the water too. And so the lesson is for us that whenever troubles are greater than what we are, if we'll obey the voice of the Lord, not only are those things under the feet of our Lord, but they can also reside under our feet if we'll look to Jesus. Amen. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus and began to see the winds and the waves and so forth, then he began to sink and he had to cry out to the Lord. But I'm glad when he called on the Lord reached down and saved him, and he walked on the water again. You ever thought about that? He didn't just walk on the water once. Peter walked on it twice. Everybody might want to criticize him for taking his eyes off the Lord, but he didn't just do something that nobody else has done one time. He did it two times. He walked back to the boat together with the Lord, hand in hand. I'm thankful we can do that, and I'm glad the Lord is a God of second chances. And my friend, whenever we make mistakes and failures have come in our lives, I'm thankful he doesn't just throw us away and said, you're such a doubt peddler. Why don't you have faith? And I'm not going to fool with you anymore. But I'm thankful, my friend, he may even scold us as he did Peter here. Oh, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? But he also let him walk on the water again. Amen. I'm thankful for that, and I praise his name. But Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, and that's when he got in trouble. When he did, though, he put his eyes back on the Lord, and that's when he got help. The song said that, and by the way, again, we're preaching today on look to Jesus. The song said, look to him, keep your eyes upon the Savior. Trust in Jesus, he's the one who really cares. Put your hand in the hand of a man who never fails. When you need a friend, look to him. Amen. I'm glad we can do just that. I want to share three things with you today out of this chapter of the Word of the Lord. If you'll keep your Bibles open with us, you can follow along. I want to share with you three things from this chapter of the Word of God concerning look to Jesus. First of all, I want to say, look to him in salvation. Look to him in salvation. Seems fairly elementary, but it doesn't seem like the world's got it down yet, that Jesus is the only hope of your soul's salvation. Amen. And there are so many that are looking for another way to God. And 2 Corinthians 11 and 4 said, and they would preach another Jesus, have another spirit, and declare another gospel. But Jesus said in John 10 and 1, and verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that entereth not into by the door in the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, is the same as a thief and a robber. Amen. And so there is but one way to Jesus. There is but one way to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. If your soul's going to be saved, you'll have to look to Him. Amen. There's no other way but through Jesus. Amen. Peter looked up at the Lord in verse number 30 and said, Lord, save me, save me. My friend, there is no other route. You remember the story of the publican and the Pharisee that both came into the temple, and the Pharisee had the eye disease. Lord, I thank you that I am not like other men, and that I fast twice a week, and that I give my tithes, and that I am certainly not like this old publican over here. That the publican entered in, counting himself not worthy. He never even looked up toward heaven, but he smote himself on the breast and said, oh Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the Bible said that the publican was the one that went away justified. You know why? Because of the righteous man, the man who had self-righteousness, and the Pharisee, my friend, was looking to himself. He was looking to good works. He was looking to religion. He was looking for another way to God. But when it comes to be a soul being saved, you'll have to look to Jesus in salvation. There is no other way. Man is condemned by his own deeds, and he cannot save himself. You're the bird that got yourself lost. You can't save yourself. You're the reason you're in the mess you're in. Amen, that's right. It's no wonder that Jesus said to Nicodemus and to John 3, you must be born again. He said, how can a man when he is old enter again into his mother's womb and be born a second time? But Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. He speaks of a spiritual birth, the regeneration of a new life that only Jesus can give. If you're going to be saved, look to Jesus. Amen. George Whitefield preached more than 300 times on you must be born again. That was documented. And a newspaper reporter asked him one time, said, Brother Whitefield, I have noted in the services that I've been in with you that you preached more than 300 times on you must be born again. Tell me, Brother Whitefield, why is it so important that you preach this many times on you must be born again? He looked back at the report and said, sir, I want to tell you why it is. For one simple reason, you must be born again. There are some things in life that are optional, but I'll tell you, if you're going to make it into heaven, it is a must. You must be born again. You'll have to look to Jesus if you're going to go to heaven. You're going to have to look to Jesus for the salvation of your soul. Many are trying to be redeemed by other means, but their salvation is like a broken cistern that cannot hold water, according to Jeremiah 2 and 13. Oh yes, that's right. They say there are many ways to God, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You're pretty dogmatic about that, aren't you, preacher? Absolutely, because the Bible's dogmatic about it. There's no way to be saved except through Jesus. Amen. Many will emphatically declare baptism saves. They believe in baptismal regeneration, if their church does it anyway. That same crowd, every time I talk to them, tell them I've been baptized, it doesn't seem to be sufficient because their preacher's got to baptize you. But Jesus said you must be born again. Listen to me, you can be baptized in every river and pond between here and Gadsden, Alabama and back until every tadpole knows your name and your skin turns blue and still go to hell without God. Our salvation is not in baptism. Jesus said you must be born again. Another equally earnest religionist will say confession, penance, and payments for deliverance from purgatory is the way to God. We'll get the priest to light a candle for you and try to make it between the different areas of the afterlife. But the truth is, it's heaven or
hell and say unto the Savior, let's get right again, Lamb. Jesus said, you must be born again. That's still another super spiritual, outwardly impressive individual. We'll say, pray on until you begin to chatter. Meditate on until you begin to convulse. Work up the flesh into a frenzy. And then you can know you've been redeemed. But Jesus said, you must be born again. It is not the work of man. It is not the work of the church. It is the supernatural work of God. Salvation is of the Lord. Amen. Another serious-minded, sanctified, appearing person will say that it's all in your state of mind. If you think you're a Christian, then you're a Christian. And if you think you're not, then you're not. But I want to tell you, I knew a fellow one time that thought that he was a rooster, but he did not have feathers. You can sit, my friend, in a garage and go vroom, vroom, but it does not make you a car. That's because you think you are something does not mean that you are that. Amen, that's right. I saw a fellow one night popping pills and on dope. That was a jumping off my friend off of things and thought he was a bird and said he could fly, but he didn't fly. You know why? He thought he was a bird, but it didn't make him a bird. And you can think you're a Christian, but it don't make you a Christian. And why? Because Jesus said you must be born again. It's not a state of mind. It's a state of being. You're either saved or lost. You're either a Christian or you're not. You be with a man God through the person of Jesus and His sweet Holy Spirit, or you're on your way to hell. That's just how simple it is. Oh, my friend, men are looking for every way to God. But if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to look to Him in salvation. Amen. Oh, the ones that kills me is these them that say sit yogi style and to chant and hum and meditate and soon you'll find yourself. I don't understand people going on journeys all over the world looking for themselves, and they're there all along. Amen. I mean, you might have to go somewhere looking for somebody else, but you ain't got to go nowhere looking for yourself. Amen. I mean, they're going to go look and to climb a mountain to find themselves. Well, they found themselves at the top of the mountain. Big dummy didn't realize this. At the bottom of the mountain when there's down there too. Amen. I want to tell you something. You don't need to find yourself. You need to come to yourself. Amen. You need to realize, as a prodigal did, that your father has bread to spare and you're perishing with hunger. I'm talking about your soul is empty and you need the Lord. You've got to turn to Jesus to be saved. Amen. That's right. Oh, yes. Quit looking to the inner man. You'll find nothing there that'll save you. In me that is in my flesh, there is no good thing. You'll find nothing down in here to save you. Amen. Well, somebody else said sprinkling as a baby and confirmation as a junior will make you a Christian as an adult. But Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Well, yes. Another's religious philosophy says to give when you can to anything you like. Do the best you can. Be kind to others, and you're bound to make it to heaven. But God's word says you must be born again. Amen. By the way, all religions are not the same, and everybody's not going to heaven when they die. Amen. And that crowd that said, don't matter what you believe in, as long as you believe in something, that's the craziest junk I ever heard. Them fellows with them Dwight tennis shoes on and the drinking strychnine believed the hell Bob Comet was coming by to pick them up. But they left him. The Comet left them laying dead, my friend, with their tennis shoes still on. I'm telling you, just because you believe in something does not mean you're going to heaven. I got a dog that howls at the moon. He believes in something. But it doesn't mean his soul's converted. If you're going to get to heaven, friend, you'll have to look to Jesus for salvation. Amen. It's your only hope. Amen. Some preach a social gospel of good works and religion, and they say it really makes no difference what religion you trust in, long as you believe in something. God's Word, however, says it's repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. I mean, Jesus said you must be born again. That's right. Oh, friend, one well-intentioned soul who truly is a believer in the heart will try to win souls by simply sharing the simple gospel and asking others to repeat a well-intentioned prayer. And my friend, they say now, you went through the mechanics and you said the prayer. And my friend, you repeated after me. And hear me, they say now you're saved. But Jesus said, you must be born again. It's not enough to repeat somebody else's prayer. That's not sufficient. What one preacher say, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, 4, 5, 6, baptize them quick, 8, 9, 10, they ain't coming back again. Amen. And that's just about right. You know what's missing in that, don't you? 7. You know why? That's the Lord's number, and he wasn't nowhere in the whole thing. Amen. I'll tell you, when a man gets saved, it'll be the Lord's doings and the Lord's doings alone. Amen. That's exactly right. A friend, hey, you'll have to turn to Jesus if you're ever going to be saved. Amen. Oh, we've got those in our day, friend, all over churches. It ain't just in false religions and so forth. It's in so-called Christendom, so-called Christianity, in Baptist churches, if you will. My friend, some deceptive, back-scratching, ear-tickling, pussy-footing, flashy-dressing preacher looking for a bigger crowd, a better paycheck, and the brethren to pat him on the back for all of his accomplishments. And he'll say, come to church and get a treat and a gift, and an extra gift for a visitor. And while you're getting, you might as well get religion and get baptized too. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said you must be born again. I want to say, friend, there's more to being saved than coming to church. I tell you, better look to Jesus. He's your only hope.
Peter didn't cry out, Lord, I need to join the church. He's a fallen in the water. He didn't say, I need to join the church. I need to be baptized. He's being baptized. I mean, he wasn't worried about getting baptized. He's getting thoroughly immersed. Amen. Hey, you know what he said? Lord, save me. If you're ever going to get saved, you better get desperate and get in a place where nobody but Jesus can give you hope and call out to him for salvation. Lord, save me. It's the only hope you got. Look to Jesus for salvation. I want to say secondly this morning, look to Jesus in the storm. Look to Jesus in salvation. Secondly, look to Jesus in the storm. Now this passage of Scripture we've read and studied this morning, they were, my friend, in the sea, and Peter was walking on the water with the Lord Jesus and fell through, and he had to look to Jesus to be able to get out of the storm and out of the mess he's in. But it wasn't just him, but everybody in the boat had to look to Jesus and get out of the mess. I'm going to say it ain't just Peter, and it's not just these in the boat, it's us too. We'll also have to look to Jesus to get out of any of the messes we face. You see, it is impossible to live in this world without storms and trouble. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I mean, friend, hey, there are storms in our life, and not all of them happen on the sea. This chapter, chapter 14 of Matthew, is a chapter all about storms. And not all of them are on the sea. There's 4 stories in this chapter of the Word of the Lord, and I want us to look at them briefly as we're talking about turning to Jesus or looking to Jesus in the storm. There is, first of all, in verses 1 through 12, there's the story of the murder of the Baptist. The murder of the Baptist in verses 1 through 12. In verses 15 through 21, there's the story of the multiplying of the bread. In the verses 22 through 33, there's the story of the manifestation in the blasting wind. And then in verses 34 through 36,
there is the miracles for the believing. And so we got four stories: the murder of the Baptist, the multiplying of the bread, manifestation of the blasting wind, and the miracles for the believing. I want to show you the storms in these stories and how looking at Jesus was the only way out and the only way for peace. First of all, the murder of the Baptist, verses 1 through 12. The Bible tells us that John the Baptist set out a preaching. It was a time when Herod was Herod Tetrarch. My friend heard of the fame of John the Baptist. And he said, who else this man? They said, that's John the Baptist. He's some kind of preaching. And it's vague. Herod went out to hear him preach. But Herod had a little problem. You see, he was living with a woman that wasn't his wife. Matter of fact, she was his brother Philip's wife. And my friend, they wasn't married either. And they were living in adultery. Hey, Herod must have wanted to go out and see that fella in her town, how the miracles was done. What a great preacher this man was. What he didn't know was, my friend, he wanted to hear a preacher that's going to inspire him. And he went to hear the wrong preacher. Because John the Baptist only inspired people with repentant hearts. I mean, folks were rebellion. He preached against their sin and said, go out and bring forth fruit, meet for repentance, and then you can be baptized. Amen. And John the Baptist preached against sin. That's exactly right. What sin was it John preached against? Well, the story here reminds us what kind of sin John preached against. He preached against what people are doing. Amen. Oh, it's amazing how some folks in our days is real good about preaching against sin, as long as it ain't nothing nobody's doing that's listening. Amen. I mean, they'll preach against, you know how it is. They'll preach against stealing and killing. And my friend, they might preach against sodomy, maybe, if a sodomite's not there. They might preach against drunkenness if other people drinks. You know how it is. But they're not going to preach on what people's doing. Amen. You know what John the Baptist did, Brother Charles? Somebody came to him and said, hey, Herod's here, and you know he's living with his brother's wife. You better not say nothing about adultery today. It might hurt his feelings, and he might not come to back to church no more. And John said, boy, I'm glad you told me about that. He run, jumped up on the stump and said, where is he? Herod, you're here. There he is. Herod, I've been meaning to come by and see you and let you know that it ain't right what you're doing living with your brother's wife, living in adultery. It's sin, and you need to quit it. Amen. I want to tell you, John, he preached to the sin and the people committed. What good does it do you for me to preach against everybody else's sin that ain't here? I mean, they're not here to hear about it. I'm not helping you preaching against their sin. Or you come by the door and say, preacher, boy, you told them today. And he ain't even trying to tell them to start with. Trying to tell you. Amen. I mean, we got to preach to the ones that's here. Preach to your sin. Don't do no good to me to preach to everybody else's. Amen. Amen. And so John the Baptist preached to Herod, preached on his sin, called him by name. Lord, most of you would fell out with him and said, you done run him off and now he never will get right with God. But John the Baptist is full of the Holy Ghost, and he, being full of the Holy Ghost, had sensitivity about him to preach what the Lord told him to preach and let God figure out who to get right with God. Amen. That's exactly right. Thank God. And so the time came that Herod was having a birthday, and his stepdaughter, you're talking about a perverse family, his stepdaughter did a little lewd dance for him, and my friend, a little striptease of sorts for him, and he got so worked up and so tore up about it. He told her, said, I tell you what, honey, you tell me what you want, and I'll give you anything you ask for. And she said, let me ask Mama about it. And Mama was full of the devil, and she's still mad at the Baptist preacher for preaching against her adultery. And she said, tell Herod to bring me the head of John the Baptist in a charger on a platter, if you will. And they cut off the head of the preacher man. And my friend delivered it to that woman that's living with the king. And all because he preached the word of God. Many of these disciples of Jesus were disciples of John first. that followed John in the wilderness while he was eating locust and wild honey. Amen. They were baptized of him in the River Jordan. They saw the anointing power of God on him. They watched him as he took Jesus and baptized our Lord in the Jordan. And when he rose up out of the water, the dove descended from heaven. The Spirit of God is a dove lighting upon him. The Father speaking from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And they witnessed all of those things. John was the man that pointed them to Christ. He was the one that said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." He was the one that witnessed to them and showed them how to be right with God. He is the one that prepared them for the coming of the Lord. As he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." He prepared them for the coming of Christ. He taught them how to be good disciples for the Lord. He taught them of the importance of selling out to God. He showed them the one who could wash away their sins. And hear me, friend. This man they loved, they cared about, they cherished, thought highly of. This man they knew was God's man. He now was a dead man. And they knew for certain if they killed John, Jesus would be next. And we'll fall after that. And we're all in trouble. Oh, can you imagine the storm in their lives? And the trouble that's in their lives. And the heaviness of their hearts, and the fear that gripped their souls, and they wonder, what in the world will we do? Oh, surely there's concern what they were should do. Oh, but hear me, friend, in verse 13 and 14, when they didn't know what to do, you know what they did? They turned to Jesus. They looked to Jesus. Well, when Jesus heard of it, he departed, my friend, thence by ship into a desert place apart and was there alone to pray. And the multitudes, they followed him and they looked to Jesus. And he healed them when their heart was heavy. And my family didn't know what to do. They got in a desert place. They got in a quiet place with just them and the Lord. And they found help in looking to Jesus. I want to tell you, when your heart's heavy, when storms is on every side, when grief has gripped your soul, when you find a quiet place, when you find a place of solitude, and there get alone with Jesus and look to him. You can find help there. You can find help there. John was dead, but Jesus had compassion on him and healed him. I want to say your help's not in a preacher. If I was to kill over this morning and never breathe another breath of life, your help's not in a preacher. Amen. Your help's not in the church. Your help's not in the most revered saint. Your help is in the Lord. If those people have helped you, they've helped you because the Lord helped them. Amen. Well, look to him in the storm. We find four stories. The murder of the Baptist. Second story we find is the multiplying of the bread. Verses 15 through 21. Now it would seem that you're in a desert place. Your best friend, John, has just died. The man that Jesus said was the greatest ever born of a woman, amen, had died. It looks like the government's out to kill all of you. It seems like maybe wanting to eat lunch is the least of your problems, don't it? I mean, at a time like this, somebody said, "Preacher, I'm hungry." The answer I would have given probably is, "How in the world can you think about eating at a time like this?" I mean, that's kind of the way I would have been probably at the mess we're in. "What do you mean you're hungry? That's all you think about is eating all the time. I mean, you just eat anywhere and anything." But listen, friend, it seemed like maybe that this is the least of their troubles. They're thinking possibly the army will be out there to round them all up and kill them soon. But hear me, hey. They're thinking about their stomachs and that they're hungry. It seemed like a small problem. But I want to say the Lord knew they were hungry. Well, my friend, hey, Jesus said they need not to depart. Give you them to eat. But they said we don't have enough. All we've got's 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We don't have enough to feed this crowd of 5,000 men, plus the women and children. But Jesus took took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he multiplied and he fed the crowd. I want to tell you, friend, this lets us know he's interested in our every problem. How your problem may seem mighty small and insignificant to me, and maybe other folks think you're crazy for the things that are bothering you, that does bother you, but you can cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. He's interested in your every problem. He feels the breaking of your heart. Amen. He knows how to help you in every situation. He's hope when others let you down. He's healing when you're sick. He's food when you're hungry. He's peace when the storm rages. I'll say that he's interested in all your problems. The storm, look to him in the storm. I don't know if the storm is financial, if it's physical. Look to him in the storm. Amen. If it's the murder of the Baptist, the multiplier of the bread. There's a third storm listed here in verses 22 through 33 that we read this morning in the hearing. That is the story of the manifestation in the blasting wind. When the very thing that Jesus told him to do. Now listen, Jesus said, for you to go ahead. The Bible said in verse 22, he constrained his disciples to get in the ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. He said, you fellows go ahead and load up in the ship. You go ahead. I'll send the crowd away and then I'll meet you on the other side. And hear me, Jesus is the one that told him to get on the sea. He's the one that told him to get in a boat. He's the one that told him to set sail. And yet when they're doing the very thing that Jesus told them to do, everything works out bad. Nothing pans out. They get in the middle of the storm. Well, preacher, I'm being obedient to God. I'm not living in sin. I'm trying to do what's right. Why have I got all these troubles? Just because you're sailing the waters the Lord told you to sail does not mean there'll never be a storm. It does not mean you'll never face problems. It does not mean you'll never have troubles.
They were doing the very thing that Jesus told them to do and it was not working out. And they were about to give up all hope. Amen. Sometimes when you do what you know is right, everything will go wrong. You ever tried to do right and everything that you did turned out wrong? Now, a lot of times, those of us, all of us in here at times have tried to do wrong and everything turned out wrong. But it's one thing when you're doing wrong and you know you're doing wrong and things go wrong than what it is when you're doing right and trying to do your best and everything goes wrong. You ever tried to do something good and everybody else thought you was doing something bad? You ever tried to help somebody and all it did was make a mess out of everything? Amen. The Lord knows when you're trying to do right and everything's going wrong. Amen. Sometimes you're trying to do right and you look and you say to yourself, if I do more right, it's going to get worse is what it's going to do. The more that I do and the better I follow after God, more obedient to what I am to Him, seems like the worse everything goes. The more trouble I've got. The closer I get to God, the more storms I have. Well, my friend, if He's walking on the sea and if He's in the storm and you're going to get close to Him, you're going to have to get in the storm. Amen. Sometimes you've got to be in the storm to be next to where Jesus is. Amen. And He didn't send you in the storm to kill you. He sent you in the storm to get you on the other side. Amen. He didn't send these fellows in the storm for them to die and drowned out there in the sea. Whenever, my friend, they were in the storm, He sent them in the storm to get them to the other side. Between here and there, there's a storm. But the Lord will see you through the storm. And there will be another side if you'll just sail on. Look to Jesus in your storm. Amen. They were just about to give up hope. They were toiling and rowing and just about to get cash in the chips. Just about to quit. Well, but then they realized that they were not on the sea alone. Would you hear me today when I tell you that you may have troubles and trials and difficulties, but you are not sailing alone. Look to Him. Keep your eyes upon the Savior. Trust in Jesus. He's the one that really cares. Put your hand in the hand of the man who never fails. When you need a friend, look to Him. You're not sailing on the sea alone. Look to Jesus for hope, friend.
Your troubles may be more than what you can handle, but when the waves are over your head, they're under His feet. He's still in control. And if you'll look to Jesus, you can walk on the water like Peter. Peter didn't have nothing in him. You ain't got in you. What he did have was a hand in hand with Jesus. Amen. Well, there's storms here. Look to Jesus in the storm. Murder of the Baptist, multiplying the bread, manifestation of the blasting windows. Verses 34 through 36 tells us the miracles for the believing. All that believed received. That's right. They came to Jesus, besought Him that they might touch them, if need be, with just the hem of His garment. And as many as were touched were perfectly made whole. How about that? So it is today, all that believe receive. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, of whom his son asked bread, and he would give him a stone? Or if he should ask a fish, he would give him a serpent. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Look to Jesus in your storm. If you'll believe, you'll receive. I'm going to close with this. I told you to give you three things. Look to Jesus in salvation. Look to Him in the storm. Thirdly, look to Him for satisfaction. The Bible said in verse 33, when they were in the ship, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. When they come in the ship, the wind ceased, the storm quit. They looked at Jesus and said, it's all because of Him. At that time, Brother Matthew, I don't think they cared if they ever even got to shore or not. It didn't make no difference how deep the sea was. I don't think it would have mattered then if the wind started blowing again, because they'd done seen the man that walked on the water. They were satisfied with the Lord Jesus. I wonder in your life, friend, if you got a glimpse of the Savior, have you seen Him walk on the waters of the storms of your life enough that you're satisfied that come what may, Jesus will take care of it? This is not the last storm that these guys were, or first storm these guys had been in. And it wasn't their last. And the storms that you faced in your life, my friend, this whatever you go through today is probably not your first, and it definitely will not be your last unless you happen to die today. Because as long as you keep living, there's going to be more storms. But have you seen enough of Jesus walking on the waves to know He'll be enough? To know that no matter what comes or goes, He'll be sufficient. To know that He's Jehovah Jireh, the God that will provide El Shaddai more than enough. Can you say with the psalmist in Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm satisfied with Jesus. So many people can't be happy today. They can't find satisfaction in their constant stress and pain. But there's satisfaction to be had in the Lord Jesus Christ. I need nothing else besides Him. If you really got Him, you don't need anything else but Him. And if you got Him, you got Him and everything else that comes with Him. So it's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. I'm done preaching. I wish you'd come with a song. Look to Him. When you need a friend, look to Him. Wherever you are in life, look to Jesus. There's help to be found there. You know, there's times it comes when trouble's so great that your friends will fail you. Sometimes they'll forsake you. They have every good intention to be there for you. That's what the disciples told Jesus. Peter said, Lord, I'll be with you even all the way to death. But Jesus said, before the cock crows in the morning, you'll have denied me three times. He meant well. Jesus told him in the Garden of Gethsemane, your spirit's willing. Your spirit, that which is in you, says, I'm ready to go all the way with God. That who's in you says, I'm ready to go all the way to death. If it takes it, I'm willing to. But the flesh is weak. You've got good intentions, men. I know that, but watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Friends will say, I'll be with you till the end. I'll stand with you when the world's on fire. And they mean well. But then troubles come, the waves are too high for them. The wind's too boisterous for them. But I'm glad when everybody else has given up. All of the help has failed you. Mom and Dad has let you down. The psalmist says, then the Lord will lift you up. I'm glad He's able to do that. No storm too great. Do you think that your troubles have scared Jesus off? He'll stand by you. Paul said, when nobody else stood by me, even Peter and John forsook him, he said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood by me that night. The Lord stood by me. He'll stand by you. Would you look to Jesus? Stand to your feet, please. You need to come pray. I wish you'd come. If you don't know the Lord, I wish you'd come today. Meet one that'll stand by you.
When the storms of life are raging,
Jesus.
Stand by me.
Struggles in your life, problems you're battling
when
with,
storms.
When
the storms of life are raging, stand by
me. You can't
me.
Get satisfied. No matter what you have, it's
when
not enough.
When the world is tossing me.
Seems like every day
like
a
ship upon the sea. Thou who rulest
all of life's a
wind
monster.
And water, stand
all of life's
by
a giant
me.
To fight. You can't seem to ever get victory. Would you look to Jesus? When you seem like you're all alone, would you look to Him? When you need a friend, look to
in
Him.
In the midst of tribulation, stand by
you need
me.
To come pray. I wish you'd come.
In the midst of tribulation, stand by me.
When toiling and rowing all by yourself, thinking you're a
mess
for a storm.
When the force of hell assail, and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me.
Look to Him.
In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me.
He'll do it.
In the midst
apart,
of faults and failures, stand by
you.
Me.
The Lord will love you through it.
When I
in
do the best I can, and
he
my friends don't understand. Thou who knowest all about me, stand by
look
me.
Look to Jesus! Well, I'm so glad when Peter said, Lord, save me, Jesus didn't ask for an application to see if it's good enough. Amen.
In the midst
didn't
of
ask him to
persecution,
pay for his way in.
Stand by me.
Amen. Just reach down and say.
In the midst of persecution, stand
he
by
came
me.
To save imperfect people.
When my foes in battle array undertake
to
stop my way. Thou who saved Paul
no
and Silas,
God
stand by me.
Amen. Well, I've tried to be obedient to the Lord. I wonder if you... Look to Him. I'm glad I can. Can I just say one more time? It's not in a preacher. It's not in a church. It's not in a revered saint. It's in Him. I'd love for my young'uns to be able to look to me, and if I could save them, I would have already done it before now. But they'll have to look to Him.
Right. Yes. Yes.
When they stand before the Lord, He won't care if their name is Powers. And if you knew some of them, that wouldn't mean an awful lot to you either. Some of that crew's crazy. Won't matter if their name's Powers. Won't matter if they attended Truth Baptist Church. It won't matter that their daddy was a country preacher. All that'll matter is that they look to Jesus. Only hope you've got. Well, I wish you'd come back tonight and be with us in the meeting. We'll meet for prayer at 15 to 6. And looking forward to the service tonight at 6 o'clock. Come be a part of that. And 5 o'clock, the officers' meeting, right? 5 o'clock, officers' meeting. Need you to come. We'll talk about Sunday school and so forth.
I'd like you to attend the officers' meeting if you can this afternoon at 5. All right. I appreciate you being here this morning, being a part of the meeting. You can fellowship one with another and be dismissed. Thank you for coming.